Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for the privilege of enjoying to sing to you. We thank you that your salvation puts a song in our heart. So, Lord, when we hear these songs, it's because our heart resonates with them, because we have been redeemed. We sing about blood, Lord, such a strange thing, but only because we know of its power and its price. And we thank you for it. We sing of a day when, and we celebrate a day when a man was nailed to a cross. We only do it because it only in the great picture of his death as a sacrifice for us does it even make sense. But we thank you that we celebrate his resurrection, and that today we're here just to rejoice in you and celebrate this glorious day. And Father, we pray that Jesus Christ would have preeminence this day. It wouldn't be about us. It would be about Jesus. And you would draw people to yourself. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
It was always on his mind. Before the first star was ever hung on nothing, before the first snowflake ever fell, before the first pair were placed in the garden, it was on his mind. When the cunning serpent hissed his poisonous lies to the guileless couple, it was on his mind. When they ate the fruit and lost the glory, it was on his mind. When he killed an innocent animal to cover their bodies, it was on his mind. It was on his mind when Abraham raised the knife to slay his son, and the ram was provided as a substitute. It was on his mind when Joseph's brothers sold him as a slave, and that young man ended up going down to redeem a family. When every Israeli home in Egypt had blood on the doorpost and the death angel passed over, it was on his mind. It was on his mind when the children of Israel offered a sacrifice in the desert and fire from heaven consumed that sacrifice, demonstrating that the sacrifice had been accepted by God. It was on his mind when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and everyone who looked lived. It was on his mind when Rahab hung the crimson thread in the window of Jericho and faith saved a scarlet woman. When Boaz played the part of kinsman redeemer and lifted Ruth to Judah's tribe, it was on his mind. It was on his mind when the shepherd boy slung the stone that killed the giant. And when that same boy king failed, still, it was on his mind. It was on his mind when the prophet declared that one day a virgin would conceive and bear a son. But when that same prophet spoke of another day, when that servant who had come would be wounded for our transgressions, those inspired words rolled forth from his heart. For it was on his mind. It was on his mind when Israel's sin divided their kingdom and then sent them into captivity, as well as when they returned to rebuild the demolished temple. When Malachi, the last of the prophets, spoke of the sun rising with healing in his wings, it was on his mind. During the silent years, when no prophet spoke, but God was at work, it was on his mind. It was on his mind when a virgin girl heard a word from an angel and conceived in a once-for-all miracle. And an older carpenter heard the name he was to give this boy. You will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. On that glorious night when angels announced to shepherds that a Savior had been born, when he himself entered the arena of human history, not as a king, but as an ordinary Jewish kid, born not in a home, but in a stable in David's town, it was on his mind. Even as he entered the globe and took on flesh, he said, "Behold, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do your will, O God." It was on his mind. It was on his mind when his parents took him just days later to be dedicated at the temple. And Simeon held him to speak of the day of Israel's redemption. It was on his mind when his parents took him to Egypt for protection and to fulfill the prophecy. And it was on his mind when he returned from Galilee, returned again to Galilee to grow up in the carpenter's shop working with wood. It was on his mind when at the age of 12, he tarried behind in Jerusalem at the feast. And his mother panicked, asked him, "Why? Did you not know that your father and I were anxiously worried for you? Was on his mind when he said, did you not know that I would be about my father's business? As he worked in the carpenter shop as a young man, the artist Holman Hunt has captured a picture of him there resting at the end of a hard day, stretching. And behind him, the setting sun cast the shadow of a cross because it was on his mind. It was on his mind when he went to hear his cousin preach and watched as John baptized those in the wilderness, and when he himself stepped in the waters to be identified with sinners. It was on his mind when he went into the wilderness to face the foe, the enemy of our souls, alone, all alone, to wrestle in the spirit with the one who had deceived mankind, who had come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, and to fight only with the sword of the Spirit to say, it is written. It was on his mind when he returned in the power of the Spirit to proclaim in the town of Nazareth where he grew up, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. It was on his mind as he proceeded to give sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. Indeed, it was very much on his mind every time he confronted the powers of evil and cast the demons out. It was on his mind as the disciples awakened him in a ship already swamped with water under the eye of a deadly storm, and he spoke and the winds and the waves obeyed. It was on his mind when virtue, power, life flowed out from him when the woman with the issue of blood touched just the hem of his garment. It was on his mind. It was on his mind as he preached and as he talked, telling the crowd and his followers to take up the kingdom of God and to follow the kingdom of God and to take up their cross and follow him. When he entered the city of Jerusalem, as the hosannas echoed down the dusty streets, it was on his mind. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and even the Romans sought to outwit him, but at every turn, his answers proved both appropriate and infuriating because it was on his mind. He sent the disciples to prepare the Passover meal, and as they ate that night, that which was always on his mind surfaced, and he talked to his friends of his soon sufferings, but they could not hear, for what was on his mind was not on theirs. He led them to the garden where he was used to praying. And as they slept, he prayed, facing down the fear and the shame and the horror, seeking strength to fulfill that which he knew would come. He prayed in agony, crying out first for relief, but then finally, in the next breath, refusing to take it. And at the end, relenting in trust to the Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. It was on his mind. The soldiers came, and one of his very own, a friend, identified him with a kiss. It was on his mind as he watched one betray, another deny, and all depart. It was on his mind. It was brought to the forefront of his thinking as he was tried illegally by his own people under the cover of night, charged with crimes he did not commit. It was on his mind as he was delivered to the Romans, brought before the governor, and condemned to die. It was on his mind as the crown of thorns was driven into his head, as the soldiers tore the beard from his cheeks, as they beat him with rods and whips and with the cat o' nine tails until his body was in rags and the very muscles themselves showed through where the flesh has been torn off. Though he belonged in the ICU, instead, he is wrapped in a robe and he is forced to carry a cross up a hill until, in agony, he falls beneath it. And an African, Simon of Cyrene, carries the cross in his stead. Now the soldiers throw him to the ground, bind his hands and feet. They nail him to the cross. They tie him. They lift that cross up in the air and drop it 3 foot into the hole that holds it steady. And the thud echoes throughout every part of his body. The pain is excruciating because crucifixion is a way you die by suffocation. You just drown in your own air because you can breathe in. You just can't breathe out. It was on his mind when the thieves alongside of him mocked. But when one repented, he promised him that paradise would be his that very day. It was on his mind when he remembered the care for his mother, the disciple that he loved, and he listened to the insults of the soldiers and the Jews and the crowd. The pain was excruciating. The horror ahead, he knew, held no limits. Suspended between heaven and earth, between time and eternity, he watched the midday sun grow black as it refused to shine, felt the silence of the crowd as this unusual solar event stopped them. And then came the great pain as he cried, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The sin of all humanity, the holiness of the Father, and the love that drove redemption coalesced at this moment, this fateful juncture, as the Man of Sorrows bore it all alone. As the day waned, so did his life. In order to finish well, he cried out, "I thirst," being barely able to speak because his life was draining out, literally. The soldier who thrust the sour wine to his lips permitted him to utter the final cry, the cry of triumph, the laid to rest what had been on his mind all the days of his flesh. When he uttered in triumph, "It is finished." The head that bore the thorny crown bowed low. The chin rested on the chest where soon the heart that beat would cease and be pierced by a soldier's spear. And in any speculation that he did not die, and he who had come to make wrong right and to redeem mankind, he who knew no sin and did not wrong and therefore did not deserve to die, died. The earth shook. The graves were open. The veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. No longer needed, because God and man were no longer separated. Jesus was dead. Sin had done its worst. The devil had slain the last Adam. The grave was about to receive the second man. Joseph of Arimathea took the body, wrapped it in burial clothes, and because the Sabbath was so close, laid that body in a tomb hewn out of stone where no one had yet been buried. Now he lies, silent and still. Death's pallor resting on his cheek. The body has been beaten beyond recognition, torn by human hands and murdered by executioners whose only job was to make sure that he was dead. And when Pilate asked, they looked at him and said, "Sir, he is dead." Still fearful, however, the Jews asked Pilate for a guard and a Roman quaternion, 16 soldiers, four groups of four, stood constant watch at the tomb to satisfy the governor's annoying religious co-rulers. And the Sabbath came, the seventh day. And on the seventh day, God rested, as did the Jews, as did the disciples, as did he. But on the first day of the week, recreation, the new creation, began. The Father who started all things by word in the first creation spoke to the dead body of the God-man, and he arose. New Song captured it like this long ago. They said, "Father looked down to the Son and said, 'Arise, my love. The grave no longer has a hold on you. No more death sting, no more suffering. Arise.'" He passed through the burial clothes in triumph. He rose from the dead. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. The devil who had come to steal and kill and destroy had met his match in the one over whom he thought he had triumphed. The day dawned. The earth quaked. And the guards were startled by men whose brightness and majesty drove terror in their sights and outshone the rising sun. And one of them rolled away the stone, not to let a body out, but to let the world see in that he is not here, for he is risen just as he said. The women who came to anoint the body found no body to anoint, but rather came face to face with the one who is life itself. He is alive. The cross was on his mind from the time he came into the world to redeem sinners. He lived for that day so that you and I could go free. He came for you. He came for me. He came to redeem. He came to offer himself as the sacrifice for your sin and mine. And his resurrection, like the fire from of old, is the Father's proof that the Son's sacrifice has been fully accepted. But have you accepted that sacrifice today? You see, you were on his mind, and he came for you. But unless you confess and receive him, all that he did for you is in vain. For you who are a child of God, he lived on purpose. He lived. And the Bible says to you and to me, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me for prayer? Jesus died for you, so that you could go free, so that you could be forgiven of your sin. The death of Christ was not an accident. It was not a tragedy. It was a travesty, but it was not a tragedy. It was God's designed event to rescue ruined sinners. It was God's designed event to forgive you so that you could experience God's grace, peace, and forgiveness. Do you have that grace and peace and forgiveness today? Some of you need to confess Jesus as Lord. You need to do it publicly. Follow him in a believer's baptism. Some of you who are his children, you've been living life without his purpose. Your life's off track. What's on his mind isn't on yours. And therefore, it's frustrating. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. And you're miserable. Today, I ask you to come to Christ. Come to the one who loved you enough to take the cross. Come to the one who loved you enough to lay his life down. Come to you to the one who took it up again. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray that your Holy Spirit take this word, speak it to our hearts, and bring glory to Jesus. I pray for those who need to be saved. I pray that Easter would be the greatest day in the world to confess Jesus and be saved. And I pray, Lord, for those, your children, who have wandered away from you, whose lives are not on purpose like yours. Pray that today you would draw them and they would want to live on purpose. And I pray that what is on your mind would be on theirs. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.